inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
6 minutes past nine, thanks to John J. Bowden, who told us that it's 31 degrees and it's only 7 minutes past nine. Is that shark weather? I don't know.
I don't know, Matty. At least it's not humid. I don't do well in humidity. Don't do well. I'm a free sweater in the humidity.
You get a bit rashy and itchy, do you?
Well, not so much rashy and itchy. I don't know if we want to paint that picture. Just uncomfortable. Just flat. Like a half-inflated tyre.
Well, that's what made me wonder when you sent me a photo late in the afternoon, yesterday or the day before, with you holding a pinky snapper.
Oh, it's a bit bigger than that.
Oh, okay. A proper snapper. I thought for a bloke who I already knew wasn't a good warm weather character, I thought you've just gone through a 35 degree day on a boat, and then you clarified that you'd been up early for this. And by the way, if anyone's interested in the size, if Shark and I are seen to be in different corners about the actual size of the fish, I actually posted it on Twitter so you can suss it out for yourself. So just quickly, because people are always curious about people like you and what you really do when you're not tipping and punting, you got a little tinny. You put it in down the creek, down at Morty, and you do get out from time to time at the spur of the moment, don't you?
I do, yeah. Sometimes the feeling just strikes me and I've got to go, whether it's after work, as you've been party to a few calls. Do you want me to pick you up at the pier in 15 minutes? Oh, I've got the bloody kids. And you got to be quick.
Bloody kids, the lovely kids.
Sorry. Yeah, I didn't want to out anything there. Yeah. But yesterday morning I was very early. I was a 4:30 man.
Wow.
On the water. So boat
on the
went
water
in
at 4:30.
Boat Jeez. Went in at 20 past four.
And you handle all the getting the boat in and all that sort of stuff on your own?
No dramas, mate. Yeah. Straight in.
All right. Well, we might even have a competition for a winning punter of go get up at 4:30 and go fishing with the shark for an hour.
It's a very minimalist setup. I will say that.
It's not the QE2, is it?
No. It's, as my mates refer to it, the tin can, and it is effectively a tin can.
Look, I can see it in my mind. It's not going to make me rush to get in, but I think we can work on a...
Importantly, it gets you to the fish, Matty. I think we can... 18 metres off Chelsea yesterday, if anyone's interested for the weekend and looking to find them, just... Sound up on that 18-metre line. You'll find a few arcs, drop down, and away you go.
All right. Well, we might even introduce a little competition, and the winner gets to go out and spend a bit of time with the shark on the bay.
Dear. I feel sorry
for
them
already. I'm not sure whether it's a competition anyone really want to win, but anyway.
A lot of conversation on the boat at 4:30.
And you could discuss things such as Racing New South Wales's invasion of the Melbourne Spring Carnival, and I've appreciated it, to be honest, for the last 3 or 4 months. You and so many others have been free contributors to our blank canvas rsn.net.au website reinvention, and you've given me some lovely pieces, and you did another good one for us on the your take on the invasion, in inverted commas, and you're probably not as severe as some in Victoria of the assault across the border.
No, I don't think personally all the invasion and declaring war and all that sort of stuff, I don't think it's going to help the situation at all. I'm kind of just over that dialogue, to be honest. I don't know if I'm the only one sort of looking at social media and Twitter as a bit of a temperature tester of the market, and it seems Victorian punters are all up in arms and New South Wales punters are saying, well, why can't we do that? So maybe I'm the only one out, sort of that Switzerland in the middle that's sick of that conversation. But surely any calls to collaborate need to be done with a little more kindness than you must collaborate and this is our space and our time. I don't think it doesn't sound very...
You'd like to see an independent umpire, but you want to have faith in the independent umpire. At the moment, the independent umpire is Racing Australia, but it hasn't got any power.
Well, it doesn't do anything. So you have to forget about Racing Australia.
Unless it can be empowered.
Ultimately, this is the reason that Peter Volandis is an aggressive administrator who's doing the best thing that he thinks for his state, which ultimately is all that he's answerable for.
No, I disagree. He's got a wider obligation. Well, they all do. There's a tapestry around them that they all have to
acknowledge.
The
wider obligation doesn't pay his bills. Ultimately, he's paid by New South Wales to do a job for New South Wales. He's going to do it the best.
But he exists under an umbrella of historical collaboration that he's ignoring, just dead set snubbing.
None of us used to have mobile phones 15 years ago. Now we all do. Things change. The
doesn't
umbrella
mean
of
common sense and well-mannered behaviour changes.
Well, has he been ill-mannered at any point? I don't know. Is he just doing what he wants to do?
Well, that's what's ill-mannered about us.
I think we need to forget about Racing Australia. If Racing Victoria want to lead the way on the collaboration conversation, that's great. They should be getting not only New South Wales, but Queensland, South Australia, WA, Tasmania, Northern Territory, sitting around a table and saying, we don't have a national body. We all understand that. We know that there's going to be things we want to go off and do on our own, all this sort of thing. To avoid this public social media and media argy-bargy back and forth in the future, can we agree on a way that we'll discuss these sorts of things that we each want to do so that when we want to do them, there's not this, quick, give us a comment, give us a comment. What do
and
you think?
Not
what
the
do you think?
Shock.
Don't you hate them? Aren't they bad guys? Oh, we're good guys. No, we're not. You're doing this. You're ruining everything. You know, we need to avoid that because it just distracts from some real issues in the industry. It distracts from great racing, which we've got around the country. Good Group 1 meeting in Perth this weekend. Haven't heard anything about it.
No,
all I've heard about is the Civil War.
It's a shame, isn't it? And the Kingston Town Classic is a cracking race. And look, I was there for the middle pin meeting last week, the wintry bottom. And it was the flatter of the three, but it was still good. There was still a really lovely crowd at Ascot. And
what is the crowd like? Because I'm going there tomorrow. I've never been to the races in Perth before, and I'm really looking forward to it. And we haven't had a chance to chat. I know we've got Charlie Stebbins to talk about Pakenham, but
Before we go to Charlie, it's a beautiful, intimate racetrack, a lot of red brick buildings, those sort of sail, sort of protective things around bars, very, very one level, bars around and stuff. No, it's a ripper. It's a ripper racetrack, and obviously you'll have a good time over there as well, and you might even find yourself at the beach that I found myself at last week.
Well, I'll get to directions for that. So I'm wearing the white chino as opposed to the full suit.
I don't know whether the watch. Oh no, at the races, you got to suit up. It's a very pretty formal occasion.
Suit up,
you are a guest of the club, after all.
Oh yes, but you know,
Charlie's kind of feverishly writing down notes about Ascot etiquette and all this sort of stuff. How are you, Charlie?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Matt. Yourself?
Good. Gee, you might have tipped a few swimming pools full of water on this track to fend off this very hot, drying weather.
Yeah, we put a little bit of water on yesterday, Matt, just to hold us. Look, we'll make a decision later today whether we need to put any more on. We've got some pretty strong winds out here at the moment, and it's pretty warm with a top temperature of 37 today. So, yeah, it's going to be a warm one for us. But, the winds abate late this afternoon, so we might, if we need to put any more on, we might put some more on later today.
So what would be the rating right now?
Oh, look, we'd still be in that soft five range. So, you know, we've got a fair bit of moisture in it. So, we'll dry out, obviously, today and get into that good four range. And then I think, we've just got to make a call on, you know, what the weather prediction is for tomorrow. They're still saying a chance of a shower and a possible thunderstorm in the afternoon, but they're very low probabilities at the moment. So, yeah, we'll just see what the Weather Bureau's got to say later today and make a call on that. But, yeah, we'd think we'd get into the good four range pretty easily today.
All right, but the aim, of course, is to present a sort of a good four, sort of sliding into a good three later in the day tomorrow.
And we've got some warm temperatures, obviously today, and high 20 degree day tomorrow. So we'll get into that good range.
All right, okay, mate. Good. And the rail for the cup meeting?
Yeah, rail's true. Raced at 9 metres there Thursday week ago. So back in the true fresh ground in there. So it should be a nice even surface with the rainfall that we had over last weekend. So looking forward to a really good day tomorrow.
Terrific. Good on you, Charlie.
Thanks, Matt.
Charlie Stebbing, the track manager at Pakenham for the standalone cup meeting tomorrow, and they've also got the Werribee Cup on Sunday as well. So an unusual way things are these days, where the Werribee Cup used to be
the Werribee Cup
week, didn't it? Melbourne Cup week. So now it's on Sunday, and we had Ash Baker in the COG. Fingers crossed, because he put so much effort in with the local community and all that sort of stuff. So everyone's cheering home a successful cup day there.
Yeah.
What do you make of, as an overview, we'll talk about Perth later when we get Lucy Warwick on. Wiley Dalziel's going to join us to talk about one of his horses, and John Price has got an interesting one on the first at Pakenham, and he'll join us shortly as well. But as an overview, I think the Cup's really interesting. We're talking to Ben Mellum about Del Harold and then Runaway, a couple of big strong on paces. I think they'll run along in the Pakenham Cup.
I think they might. first glance at the field, you think, oh, here's a group of horses that have been competitive in Group 2 and 3 races that haven't been able to win one during the spring, and they've got one last throw at the stumps here. But that is a great result for Pakenham. It's not an afterthought race. It's not a cobbling together
of
horses.
It's
become a bit of a target, hasn't it? And it has allowed stables to give the horses a little freshen up, whether it's from a Sandown Classic or something similar. Lob up here with 2 or 3 weeks sort of between runs, they should still have some bullets to fire. And there's some quality in it. I think it's probably the best Pakenham Cup I can remember for a little while.
Well, a Dal Harold and a Runaway. You got a Geelong Cup winner in there. And I think
Runaway, exactly.
Yeah.
It's great. I think he's almost the highlight of the race because he, as you said, the speed will be on. He'll ensure a genuine tempo, but he's got a couple of mates there as well.
Well, Dal Harold will go with him.
He'll go with him. There's a couple others that'll really boot forward and make sure the race is run at a genuine tempo. But I think he's an exciting horse that people will remember from, you know, Gay's runner in the Cup and that sort of thing. It's not that long ago, so that the general public down there that might not be ardent racing fans will still have that little memory in the back of their minds. And he goes forward, and he's a great horse to back and to watch and to cheer for. Can he keep going? And he's at a price, $13.
What I'm curious about is, and we will get into the forms, don't tweet through the fact that we're not talking horses yet, but we will in a minute. What I like is whether this... the evolution of this weekend, you got the two big country cups. We had the Ballarat Cup and then we had Sandown, and then we go back to the absolute spring carnival and we backtrack. But whether this can be packaged in a way where it's factored into people's minds that this is the drawing of the curtain of the spring carnival. We had, you know, Flemington, it seems to stop there. In the old days, Sandown was an accepted part of the carnival. But then Sandown, because of the internationals and great racing, Sandown was accepted as a part of the carnival, and then Ballarat. I wonder whether we can convince people that the Spring Carnival does extend and it ends on a weekend with two big country cups, being Pakenham and Werribee, and whether that can enter the mindset in the future.
Yeah, and on that sort of line of thinking, the other side of the coin is, does it have to? Can we have a strong summer pre-Christmas carnival?
Can this be the beginning of the summer?
That leads really good Cranbourne, Moonee Valley night meetings, that leads into strong country cups, that throws forward to Tasmanian cups and gives horses a lead into there, or New Year's Day racing at Flemington, which is always a ripping meeting. It's Christmas party season, as we know. I think there's talk to your mates as one or every couple of days somebody's having a Christmas party. Lob up at the races, have a good day, great weather. It's just a great time of year, not only on the racetrack, but away from the racetrack. Everyone's in that wind down mood.
Yeah.
Everyone's in a great mood. It's a fantastic time of year.
You know, it's getting towards Christmas when the office Kris Kringle comes around, and that's come around this week in this office.
Well, I don't like Johnny in offices.
Johnny Price has got one in. He's in and out early. Lovely name for a son of war called All In Brawl. How are you, Johnny?
I'm very well. Yourself, boys?
Not bad. I was going to ask you how this name came about. I thought there might have been an incident in a bar at a pub, but then I realised it's by war.
Yeah, it was quite humorous. I come from a town called Donnybrook in West Australia. And I know you've got one over here. And Donnybrook means all in brawl. And we tried to call in Donnybrook, thinking that it, you know, works in with... and when I said to the manager, I said, it sort of means all in brawl. He said, well, what about all in brawl? And we just said, oh, shit. Absolutely, that's it. And it was available. So, yeah, it's a ripper, isn't it?
And
we call him Joey, like the war horse in the movie. So, yeah, that's it.
Johnny, it's quite a topical runner this weekend as well, given the somewhat all-in brawl between Victoria and New South Wales and the Dams, Magic of Melbourne. So there's, you know, thematically you've lobbed him up first up at the right week, but this is a horse that's got a hell of a lot of ability. Both runs that we've seen from him, Geelong Synthetic and then Moonee Valley, when he whipped around the field with some really good sectionals there to the 200 at the Valley. He's got a lot of talent.
Yeah, look, normally when you get that momentum off the corner, normally you're sort of home, but that horse that beat him was covered up and got the late dash at him and beat him. But look, he had a nice spell. He's had a good preparation. He's a little bit of a wayward horse, but he certainly seems his trial or jump out the other day was first class. So I'm expecting him to go pretty well. Yeah,
you ran through late winter and then a little foot off the pedal and then going again. You keen to just make a bit of dough over summer with him?
Oh, look, you know, everybody, you know, people say, oh, what do you got picked for him? And I said, look, any race on any Saturday would be me, you know. So, yeah, look, we're very lucky these days with
treadmills and water walkers and that, you can sort of give them short spells or long spells, and they're ready for whatever you want. So he'll have, hopefully he will get two or three races under his belt, and then we'll, and hopefully that he proves he does go all right, and then we'll start to see what there is. You know, I love having that race in Adelaide, you know, so... three-year-old 1200
over here. So. Angus Brut, it used to be, or the Euclides. Yeah, one of the two things. All right, so you got to, in order to justify an ambitious goal like that, you'd like to kick off with a first-up win, Johnny. What's the confidence levels?
Look, I don't. Normally I get confident, and then the closer to the race I get nervous. But I expect this horse to go very well. He trialled beautifully here and jump out on Monday. They didn't run a fast time, which I thought was fantastic, because it's not only... meant a bit of fuel in the tank, it was a gut buster, and he did it easy. So I'm hoping that'll just keep him tuned right up for the 1,000. He has been to Pakenham and trialled there before, so he sort of knows the surroundings. And Ben Mellon gelled with him bloody beautifully. So hopefully it all comes off.
And life's good for Ben now, because Carly said yes when he proposed yesterday. So Ben's clear-minded. He hasn't got much on his plate.
Is that right?
I was surprised as you are, yeah.
I did not know that, but good luck to him anyway.
Good on you, mate. Good luck.
Thank you. Bye.
Righto, Shark. I reckon that was a pretty strong endorsement. I reckon there's a few ducks lined up for All in Brawl on the first, which is a benchmark 70 over 1,000 metres, unless you've got other thoughts.
No, I don't have other thoughts. Only to back All in Brawl. I really like him. I think he's a good talent that's well-placed at this time of year. And good that John, you know, you hear him, he's not having any lofty goals. He's not saying he's running it in a new market or anything like that, where, you know, people probably want when they ring him up and they say, oh, where are you going with it? Just a race on a Saturday, which at this point of the horse's career is where he needs to be. He still is not a completely polished article with some rough edges there. Then there probably should be, if you're going to call a horse All in Brawl. As he said, he's a bit of a hard horse to handle.
He should have a scar on the side of his head. And
yeah, a couple of tattoos.
And a few axes to grind.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wait till I see you at the races,
Yeah, that's
buddy.
It. Bam.
Well, $3.60 on the fixed odds All in
great
Brawl.
Great price. Mm. I think it's a great price. Symphonette's the danger. She's been going really well. And there's a heap of speed in this race. She's been sitting behind the leaders lately, stalking them, rounding them up, and winning quite well in Adelaide. So I think that scenario works well for her. Good roughie in the race is Hal Vorsen. So if you're playing multiples, you know, there are a couple that I'd sort of have around All in Brawl, but that's the way I'm betting. Win All in Brawl.
All right, more bricks has come out too, so that makes the case a bit stronger.
Good result.
Yes, and then we look at the race two. All right, let's move on to the second. This is another benchmark 70 over a mile this time. There are 11 runners, no early scratchings. And what do we got here? Law Me In, number 8 for McAvoy. Curry's in the market. So is Gita for Hayes Dabenig. Lockie King takes a claim. Play That Song, $7 is in the market. But the favourite, from what may be a sticky gate, is the old firm of Weir Allen and Casino 14.
Yeah, and he's a pretty talented horse that had a while off the scene, nearly 12 months. He came back, a couple of runs under his belt to get him fit. You know, he had run Merchant Navy to a length as a two-year-old.
Who went on to become a global megastar.
Not bad form lines, really, are they? And these first two runs back didn't set the world on fire, Ballarat and Pakenham, but the Donald win was good. It was very good in terms of time on the day. He ran the fastest last 200 of that meeting, and he wasn't really revved right out to do so. I think he's a horse that should improve again into this run. He races up near the speed, which is a plus. He can let horses go underneath him and lead, or he can take the lead himself. I think he's a pretty good horse.
Did they
in
whack
a race
the blinkers on him? Because I had a bet in that race. I think they whacked the blinkers on him last start, didn't they? I think they did. I think there was a change, and he just went bang, and maybe he can go on with it from there. So
he's not racing in them today, so they might have been a minor gear change. You could be right. I just think he's the progressive horse on the way through that should get to better races from here on, and it's a nice little stepping stone towards those. Might end up in a, you know, if he's able to win, he might be a horse that lobs in a Chester Manifold or something like that with another win under his belt in town if he can do so. He's only had 6 starts, but the talent's there. I don't think anyone's debating that. I'm with him. I think we can get off to a good start tomorrow, Matty. Anyway.
Is there any depth in the race? Because he did, I mean, I know he was authoritative, but he only won at Donald, and he's got 11 of 11 over the mile. I mean, there's a few little mini question marks he has to answer to win at the Trailers 90. Is it, depth of the race? I mean, are you comfortable that the depth isn't there and that no matter what the barrier does, he'll win anyway?
They're all pretty exposed. That's the sort of my read on the rivals in the race tomorrow. I think Lawmere, I'd be maybe surprised if it runs again. It ran on Wednesday.
Right.
At Sandown, Hillside behind Casio, and ran quite well. So whether they want to back that horse up quickly. Play That Song's the other one. She had Oaks form in Queensland during the winter. A couple of runs this time around have been good. Around that 1600-1700, but she hasn't been winning them. Gita's the other one in the market. I think Casino 14 is a better horse. I just keep looking back at the times on the day. The 1350 metre start, I think there were three or four races at Donald that day, and he was the fastest by an average of about 7 or 8 lengths.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It was a really dominant win, and the time was there too.
And it wasn't a bad field, because I backed one in it that had a bit of form as well.
Yeah, there were a couple in
it. It was flogged. So.
Yeah.
All right, the third is a benchmark 78 for fillies and mares over 1400 metres, and I guess it's not the hottest race in the world, but it's very even and there's a bit of value. The favourites are around the $4.40 Miss Woohoo, $4.60 Angelic Spirit, then $6 Another Bullseye. So whatever you like, if it wins, you're going to get a bit of value because it's pretty open.
Very open. Very open. Not a lot of pressure on the leaders here. That was my read of the race going
Angelic
through it the
Spirit
first time.
Lead again like she did at Kyneton?
She may well. Miss Moe's another one that could go forward for Charlotte Littlefield. A lot of these like to just balance up and find the line. That might give Angelic Spirit a chance tomorrow. She was a really good winner a couple of starts ago at Kyneton. Form before that around Kachada was pretty good. Our girl Silky, he's been racing well. Summon Stakes, she just got keen and running. And you wonder when a horse runs out of character like that, if it's particularly a mare at the current climate, if it's a regumate situation. There was no report of her being in season in the stewards' report, but you just wonder. Maybe an off day, something out of character like that. It might have something might have come out in the day after the race.
It should almost be in season. It should almost be in the stewards' report. Shouldn't it? I don't know whether being in season does appear in the stewards' report. Does it?
It does. Yeah, they can say it, and often they do it in retrospect. They'll notify the stewards that the horse was found to be in season the next day or something like that. But it makes backing mares difficult, particularly at this time of year, because you don't know on the day. Especially betting early in these markets, and they turn up and the horse is playing up. Dreams of Paris last week was a great example. Went absolutely bananas going onto the track.
If you've got a good eye for it, you can sort of see it on the day, but you'd have to wait till they come into the mounting yard.
You've got to know what to look for, yeah.
Just a quick one on Miss Mo. I've done a feature on Charlotte Littlefield for winning post. Yeah, she's flying. She's had 9 winners since October. And she's a very interesting story. English lady, 35-year-old English lady, with a sort of in partnership with her husband, Julian, who was studied law for 9 years. A lot of their clients are lawyers.
I reckon Jules was at Jason Warren's for a long time as well.
Yes, he was. They met at Flemington and Anzac Day 7 years ago, but they were both at Jason Warren's at the same time. They train off an ex-quarter horse farm at Narnargoon. She takes the horses up to hills to work them up hills at Bunyip and does all these sorts of things. She comes from an equestrian background. She said she rode for the National Hunt Club in England, and used to ride up hills that were also used for pheasant shooting. And she said you'd never know when a pheasant was going to fly out in front of you.
Wow.
And she was part of a English representative team that won a gold medal at a major meet in Poland in 2003. So there's a lot to, and you know, and the good times that she's experiencing now, 6 months ago she said she was in the fetal position in tears a few times because everything was going so bad. So she's going well now and really loving it, and she's a really, really lovely lady. And
I'm looking forward to that, Jan.
Yeah, it's in the winning. What day is it today?
It is Friday.
I'm serious.
Today.
What day is it? Friday? Yep.
Yeah.
Well, it's today. It's out today.
Been a good week for you.
Well, I just never know. I had an appointment with my accountant for three separate Wednesdays, and I missed it again this Wednesday because I thought it was Tuesday. So
About this end of the week, or this week in particular. You don't know what day it is. Daniel Harford slept in on the breakfast show.
It might just be me. I don't know. All right, that's three down at Pakenham. We'll just round off your thoughts for the third at Pakenham.
Good luck, basically. Look, Angelic Spirit's the horse I've landed on, but not with a great deal of confidence. I'm more confident about Casino 14 and All In Brawl in the first two.
All right, let's take a break. It's 29 minutes to 10.
Inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
Friday Form Focus is focusing on race 4 at racing.com Park Pakenham on Cup Day tomorrow. It's 25 minutes to 10. And the fourth, Shark, is the first race over a bit of a trip. In fact, there's a few races over a bit of a trip tomorrow, including the Cup. This one's a benchmark 78 Over 2,000 metres, where Hippocus is staying home, number two. And we have a pretty warm favourite in Mr. Quickie, who's got a slightly tricky gait. And he's owned by our good mate, Wiley Dalziel.
Ah.
Wiles, how are you, mate?
I'm good, Matty and Sharky. How are you?
Very well, Wiley, very well. Interesting
name.
Take on the colours and also the name. Well, it's a combination, it appears to be, between Wiley Dalziel and the Rosemont crew here. So who's Mr. Quickie?
Now, Wiley, I'm suggesting there's a connection to the dam's name as far as the naming of the horse goes.
Oh. Yes, well done. Well done, Matty. Spot on. We actually bought the horse off Rosemont Stud. We thought he was one of the nicer horses in their draft. And when we purchased him, Mitho came out the back and said, I want 10%, and Nigel Austin wants 10%. They really liked the yearling. And in fact, Nigel didn't want to sell the horse. He really loved him as a weanling. And Anthony said, we've got to put him through the ring, and he's a nice type, and we're a commercial stud. We need to get some revenue through. So cut a long story short, when I was at Easter Sales, I still had a little bit more left him, and Nigel started chatting and said, have you got any more of the Seamus Award special favour? And I said, I have. I've got a little bit left. So he took a little bit more. So he was telling me the story how he loved the horse. We then had a discussion about colours, and I said, look, how about we, rather than flip a coin or have a blue, let's just combine them and put your Gate Crasher on the front and my blue spots, and that's how the colours came up. So
nice one.
It's representing him really well.
He's a hell of a horse going through his grades, isn't he? You know, from a Class 1 at Geelong, and he just keeps getting better each time he steps out. And he beat a pretty handy one at Hillside last time in Igniter, who had decent form around Ring-a-Ding-Dings. You've got to take huge confidence out of that performance in particular, that he's going the right way.
Yeah, for sure. He was sort of one of those progressive types where he said he's not the best track worker, so he didn't give him a lot of confidence going into his races. And if you have a look at all the wins up until Sandown, he only just got there. In fact, he looked in trouble, you know, coming around the corner. He was off the bit and he looked uncomfortable. And in the last couple hundred metres, he just kind of knew to pick it up and just get to the line, whereas the 1800, he really relished it. The dam special favour, she won over 2,000 metres. She was a general redeem mare. And if you go further down the page, you've got Brew, Fulham and Chino. So you've got some nice types there, you know. So we think, obviously, the way he raced, he's going to enjoy anything over 2,000.
It's going to be interesting to see the development of the Seamus Awards. He was a Cox Plate-winning three-year-old, and, you know, there's always been that talk of a dearth of staying bloodlines in Australia. He might represent that middle-distance bracket pretty well, Seamus Award.
Yeah, he could do for sure. We've bought two of them. The other one's with Philip Stokes. She ran second at Morfordville on debut, drew the outside gate, was last all the way, and she rocketed home. She had a little jump out yesterday. Philip's got a good opinion of her. So we've got two. We're very happy with them. I'll be honest, I wasn't too keen to get them this year. I sort of thought we'd just sit on the fence on them a bit, but now they're starting to come out and hit their straps a bit, so we wouldn't be afraid to buy another one.
Wiley, we're looking forward to Magic Millions and the race day up there. Have you got any past purchases that might be in the running for a start in the classic or the three-year-old race or anything like that?
Not unless something jumps out of the ground. Most of our two-year-olds, there's a few in the system now, probably not going to be ready for it. So I'd say not. There's one potentially for the maiden, but I'd say we may not at this stage, unless one of the trainers said we had something for one of the other races on the program, we'd probably be a bit light on this year or next year.
All right. Well, best of luck anyway in the meantime with the well-named Mr. Quickie down at Pakenham, Wiley.
Thanks, boys. Appreciate it.
Good on you, mate. Wiley Dalziel there from Wiley Dalziel, Roy Higgins Racing. Of course, the partnership originally was this lovely partnership with Wiley and Roy. And, of course, Roy's no longer with us, but Wiley has continued it on. Can Mr. Quickie continue it on, Shark?
I would have been very confident, Matty, had he not drawn 14. Because the other common factor with his four wins is he's been able to get a really great run, particularly his last three. He's been back last in Geelong, but he towed up around them, got into the race at the right time and finished over the top. His last two is basically box seat stalking. Everything went right. Gaps came, through he went, away he went. It's not going to happen from 14. You don't sort of anticipate, you know, the way this race may play out as well. And some of the paces come out with Hippocus coming out and won't be heading that way. So it's a tricky assignment for Mr. Quickie. He's the most progressive horse in the race. You love being on the right side of those horses. typically they keep winning, as he has done.
There is a well-backed stablemate in the race with a claim too, Calibration. Is it the danger from the Better Burial?
Well, I thought Royal Order would turn the tables on Calibration from Moonee Valley last start. Yep. Royal Order was held up. Just couldn't get out and going and building momentum when Damien Lane wanted to. He was finishing okay. Calibration was probably all out on the line, but won by a length and a half. But I think Royal Order, on a bigger track where he's drawn a bit wide to wind up and get into the race, he can turn the tables there. So it's a really competitive race. There's other chances as well. Credence is going well. Sweet Mischief for McAvoy's going through the grades. Even Cleo's Poet goes forward and has a bit of guts at the end of the races there. He's not a bad horse going through the grades either. So tough one. Right. Mr. Quickie, look, I really like him as a horse to follow, but he might be vulnerable tomorrow. Royal Order might be the way to bet against him.
Okay, a little asterisk and a little steer to Royal Order. Pardon me. Race 5 is a really good race over 1,000 metres. It's a benchmark 78. One or two really interesting resumers here, including a horse like Milano Blahnik, who's always popular, got a good turn of foot. But Milano's a $6 chance, suggesting that it's a pretty decent race.
Very, very open race. Very open. I don't know what it is about the 1,000-metre pool of talent, you know, whether it's a 9.55 at the Valley or a 1,000 metre of this sort of class at benchmark 78, I just can't get enthusiastic about betting in them. They're all exceptionally even. A horse like Urach would just go and smack these up sideways if it was right. But Flemington, Mucus, scratched the other day, drawn wide here in 13.
Different stable too from when it was on fire.
On ability, on raw talent, you'd think she'd win, but I'm not confident about backing her until I see her recapture that ability. The other really interesting runner in the race is Prairie Fire. Now look at its two-year-old form around Encryption, around Kalasa, around Written By. Like, this is form that has stood up during the spring three-year-old season. Prairie Fire has clearly had some injury worries since the Golden Slipper when he ran last on a wet track and didn't handle it. I thought his Cranbourne trial was okay. Doesn't look to have grown a hell of a lot. There were older horses in that race, and I'd need to see him again. Oh, they weren't actually, it was 3-year-olds, but he didn't look a big horse in that trial. I need to see him in the yard or take the view of a good yard judge before I go flying into Prairie Fire. Well, but he's the point of interest in the race.
Just give me a hoy then, I'll have a gander for
you. Oh, no, you're a very good judge.
This is an indication of the depth of the race. I had something on St. Valorum at the big odds first up,
not?
And ran into Matty, who was on fire on the day, and Matty was a very good winner, and he's a $10 chance here, and St. Valorum's $23. So obviously the market assessors and the punters deem that Valley race to be almost an irrelevance to the better form lines here.
Yeah, it's one of those sorts of races, isn't it? There's form lines everywhere, and which one is the better one? We probably won't know till after the race. The other horse I thought was a massive price and well and truly over the odds given its talent on its day is 13 Windforce. You know, its last win, although in November 2017, was over Moonlover, who's gone forward and run well to stakes level in the last 12 months, and particularly during the spring. On its day, it's a good horse that can sit up on speed and give a nice little kick. First up, 5 starts, 2-2-1. And so it does go well fresh, and the jump outs have been okay. So he might be one at $21 you could spec. But for me, I'll probably be either having some lunch or a refreshing beverage in Perth rather than betting in this race.
Well, yeah, I'll back that in as a good thing.
Yeah.
All right, Pakenham Race 5 is the race we just discussed. Race 6 is the David Burke Memorial over 1,600 metres. No scratchings as yet, so there's a field of 12, and this is another good field. We've got the Waller Visitor Torgensen is in the market at $4.80. Age of Fire for Wearies at $3.70 favourite, just ahead of Fastnet Latina for Archie Alexander at $4.20, and then out to Beautyway, $6.50, and that's about it. So what I'm thinking is if you're taking quaddies, we've got some juicy value in early legs, and this is the first leg.
Yeah, it's a tricky race. Age of Fire is the horse I've sort of landed on top, but he's short enough at that quote you just mentioned. It's for a horse that this preparation has got duck egg, 5. It's not screaming.
No.
Favourite, is it? But you know, that's the sort of race this is. Albertino will guarantee a good speed. We'll go forward. Age of Fire will be somewhere midfield from 7. You've got to. I'm relying on the Weir stable pattern with this horse as much as anything else. Horses fourth up this season, Weir is striking at 20%. 20%.
Interesting, quirky stat.
It is. And it speaks to the fact that he races them into peak fitness. And I think that's what's happened here with Age of Fire, a new horse to the team when it kicked off its spring prep. Didn't have a lot of luck first up at Caulfield in a good race by Brave Song, Addictive Nature. You know, those sort of horses are pretty good benchmark level if you're looking at this grade.
Mm.
Patton was against it in the race at Flemington when it ran last, and then Kilmore Cup onto a soft track, ran home okay. It was the sort of run that you thought, okay, you might really springboard off this in a similar grade of race.
And that fourth up stat you revealed of Weir's, his horses can just creep into their preps and then go bang, fourth run in, can't they?
And you think third up, oh, that's an improvement. Yeah. You're a bit ordinary first two. Yeah. Yeah. Third up, that was better. You'll probably be better again. And they go and win by two and you think, oh, I've missed it. I've missed the chance here.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I had him on top. I'd love to see $4. I could probably back him at $4, but at $3.70, he's one that goes in the quaddie. In terms of the quaddie, I'll be throwing in one, Torgerson, three, Shoreham, which invariably runs well fresh. And I think the 1,600-metre trip will really help him do that this time around. So he goes in at a big price. 1, 3, 4, Age of Fire, 6, Albertino, because he's a good leader.
All right.
That'll do me.
Okay, we're going to take a shorty and then come back and whiz through, well, the Pakenham Cup and the rest of Pakenham. And then we're going to steer our attention across the Nullarbor to the Kingston Town Classic. We're going to have a chat to Lucy Warwick. So a bit to squeeze in, so we'll take a short break and come back. It's 14 to 10.
Inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
And the biggest race we're going to look at in Victoria at least on Saturday. Tomorrow is the Pakenham Cup. It's over 2,500 metres. It's worth a very good purse of $300,000. And Shark, it's a purse that has lured or sort of enticed a couple of major stables to hang around for the spring and have another crack. And I talk about Del Herald, Mar Eustace, who ran so well at Sandown. I'm talking about the likes of Tally. Lord Fandango's hanging around. Runaway is hanging around. And Pilot Desai trying to win the race he won 2 years ago as well. So this isn't an afterthought. This is a target, as you say. And the most interesting part of it is, to me, is how this is going to play out with Dale Harold, a very powerful on-pacer now at peak fitness, and Runaway very similar.
Well, it's worth sticking around for too when there's a prize money pool of 300K, isn't it? And if you put the money up for these staying races, then it gives the horses an opportunity to use it as a target, as we mentioned earlier in the show, rather than an afterthought. Del Harold's form is the best in the race. He's got 60 kilos to lump, and at first glance, you think, that's a bit of weight.
He's not big either, though.
He's not big either, but half the field is carrying between 58.5 to 60 kilos, and certainly all the main chances are there, except Pilot Desai, your mate, who nearly stole the Ballarat Cup last start. It's an interesting race because it'll reward the strongest stayer.
And what are they going to do with Pilot Desai? I mean, the more you think about it, Del Harold ran a very fast leading races leader. Runaway does the same. Runaway. Pilot Desai is now in peak fitness. They will all try and do the same. It's going to be interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, three. I thought Runaway, Pilot Desai, Our Big Mike with the three that would vie for the lead, with Del Harold probably just going forward to be handy, maybe lobbing sort of third, fourth, fifth, depending on how strong that early tempo is, and be right on their heels, because rather than a big turn of foot, he's just a bulldog that will stay all day and keep whacking his nose out and being there at the end to be in the finish. At the odds, I thought Runaway was a generous price here for a horse that won a Geelong Cup in emphatic style.
Beating a horse who then ran fourth in the Melbourne Cup.
Yes, exactly. He didn't run well in the Melbourne Cup himself, but I think there were reasons there, the wet track being the most important reason. And he was effectively eased out of the race when beaten. So it's not like he was getting flogged to the line, beaten 30 lengths. He was basically taken out of competition there when it was all over. His form before that was excellent. Ran Furion, Octobello, Cranbourne Cup run was great. The Geelong Cup run just stands out for me as a great reference for this. And at $14 each way, in a really tough race, where there's six chances, really. And basically, your top five, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and Pilot Desai. They're the six that I sort of landed on that I'll be throwing in the quaddie.
If the strong, powerful on paces hassle each other into submission, maybe Kawaya can go again.
Maybe Kawaya, if he'd run better at his most recent start. This is an ideal race for Wall of Fire, but he's a horse who's come back from pretty significant injury. suffered in the Melbourne Cup last spring, and we've seen a glimpse of his best form, and that was in the St. Ledger on a heavy track. So we're not going to get a heavy track tomorrow at Pakenham. So the jury's out on how well the horse is going. But if he was going well, you'd say, well, this is great. The leaders will go and make this a genuine staying test, wall of fire, and just roll home. But it's that sort of... it's that sort of race.
You know what it's
very,
going to be?
Very competitive.
It's going to be a great spectacle.
I like good spectacles.
Same here. You don't have to bet. Well, we will, but you don't have to.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the gold bullion. Speaking of currency, this is the racing.com Vobis gold bullion over 1,400 metres, race 8. And I'm just trying to flick through my dumb phone. It's going slow to see if there's any scratchings. Yeah, Lord Sundowner is out number 9, leaving a field of 12. What do you reckon?
I really like Mr. Moneybags here. There's three races I'm really keen to bet on tomorrow at Pakenham. The first two, All In Brawl, Casino 14, and Mr. Moneybags is the last of those. 1,400 metres, third up, off two really good runs. The first of those at Flemington on Stakes Day when he ran home. It was a fantastic last 600. It was actually the fourth fastest of the meeting, his last 600. And you're on a Group 1 race day. Okay, he was in a benchmark 78, but he still ran the time to say he's come back really well. He was out-sprinted last time at Kilmore in a slow run, dash for home, soft ground. I don't think he likes it. He still finished off okay and was virtually on the hind quarter of Exaltara, who then went and won again. So there's some good form lines for this class of race, and Mastering the Winner's a pretty good horse on his day.
What about the Nipper?
The Nipper? Who's the Nipper?
Sosie Bond, the Nipper.
Ah, look. What's he won?
Well, he was a moral beaten last day, wasn't he?
Oh, I don't know. Is he ever a moral beaten, Sosie Bonnie? Well, I know what you're saying. He's won one race in 29 starts.
Well, the door shut on him last start. So, look,
he's shut the door on him altogether.
He's going to be
nipper.
Popular. Okay, right. No Nipper for you.
All
right.
There's only one thing I like getting bites from, and it's not Sosie Bonnie.
Right, let's move on. Just sum up your thoughts there. Why are people knocking this race? I mean, this is a terrific sprint.
Yeah, there's depth in every race. It's the off-season. We're in the off-season, people.
Yeah, like, Winx isn't going to turn up.
No.
Yeah.
It's a Vobis gold race worth 150K, and it's a really strong competitive race with four or five genuine chances. I'm more than happy to back Mr. Moneybags at $6. And from a quaddie perspective, I'll be taking 2, 3, 5. I reckon Amadeus is just about ready.
Mm.
And Chippenham. Actually, number 12, Sam Slick, too. He's going well, and he's over the odds at $11.
All right. Jest a Dream is one that one of my mates will want to put in because Jest a Dream is a horse that's he's been on regularly of late. So Wine Shop Dave will be throwing Jest a Dreamer in. Race 9 rounds us off. Big field. Let me just check the scratchings here, if there are any. And we are going scratching free at the moment. Big field of 15 to make the quaddie complicated and good value.
Yeah, big field and a really, really tough race to finish off. The class horse is clearly the answer, my friend, but 1,200, is that the best trip for him? They had him nommed everywhere this weekend, and this is where they've ended up. I reckon second up. He might be a horse that goes to that Chester Manifold, those 1,400. There's a couple of them too. The Dylan, I think, might be the other one at Caulfield.
Yep.
Off the top of my head.
The John Dylan.
The John Dylan, yeah. Those couple of listed Group 3 1,400-metre races, I think, will be up the answer, my friend's alley. Good project, I think, will improve back to this grade. Sly Feed or Sil Feed back to this grade. There's no standout for mine. You look down the form references, very few last start winners or last start place getters. This is a group of horses that have been running in stronger races and that are coming back a peg to try and get a win. Problem is they've all run into each other. So it makes it really tough to sort out.
I reckon what you could do is treat Pakenham with cursory interest because you're going to be in Perth.
Yeah.
Take your quaddie. Sounds like you find it an intimidatingly open and even meeting, and I wouldn't want you to be in a negative frame of mind while you're taking on the Kingston Town Classic.
Thinking of my well-being.
Because I know you're a delicate bud. Now, just sum up your thoughts for Pakenham about how you're going to play it, and then we'll have a good look at the Kingston Town Classic.
Okay, we're betting in the first two races, All In Brawl, race 1, number 3, and race 2, number 4, Casino 14. Then we are waiting until race 8, and we're going to back Mr. Moneybags. Then we're rolling over to Perth to just get involved there.
Well, I think Vince Accardi set the scene when he described Acadia Queen as the second best 3-year-old on performance ratings to the Autumn Sun, and even better, Galaxy Star, the railway winner, is the second best horse in Australia to Winks.
Wow.
On performance ratings. And then Willie Pike had this awkward situation where he had to juggle the well-weighted three-year-old filly Arcadia Queen, who he won the Guineas on over there, and then Galaxy Star, who he rode a miracle race to win the railway. He basically tossed a coin and came up with Arcadia, and the first thing he says was, "I think I've made a mistake." So these are the two champion Western Australians, and they've got to take on the McKinnon winner in Trap for Fools, etc., etc., etc. What a race.
I'm going to risk Trap for Fools. I think we saw in the railway that the Victorian form, although Trap for Fools comes through stronger form references, being a Group 1 winner over an Irish Derby winner and a Victoria Derby winner, not bad form.
Mm.
I'm just going to take a risk on him. I love Galaxy Star, and I'll be backing her. I'm going to have an each-way bet more the place on number 9, Akinar Star.
Simon Miller.
From a better barrier this week. It got into an awful spot there in the railway from a tricky gate. And I know 3-bet races aren't exactly celebrated. You know, people start looking at it a bit strange, you know.
Looks like you're covering your bases too much and punting with uncertainty.
It does.
It's not a good indication of your character.
I know that. Yeah, it is a bit of a slight on your character, isn't it? But if I'm having a really good day and I can afford to, Maddie, and ultimately that's what it's going to come down to, I'll probably save on Arcadia Queen somehow just to cover my tush should the other two go under. And if she is indeed the second best 3-year-old in the country, as Mr. Riccardi says, well, I think she'd be a very good chance in this.
It's going to be a ripper race. Run at 7:50 p.m. our time, your time 4:50 p.m. And so you're flying out to Perth when? Today?
In the morning.
Tomorrow morning.
Yes.
All right. Take my tip off air. Hire a car.
All right. Well,
because the you don't walk out of your hotel and you're straight away at Cottesloe Beach. You got to get there, mate. So
well, I thought it's not a walking city.
Try walking from your hotel to Cottesloe and see how you go.
I've been to Perth before, but I've usually driven straight to Margaret River from Perth, so I haven't done much in Perth proper.
Cop my tip.
Okay.
It's wonderful, but you need a car.
All right.
Good on you, mate. Thanks for coming in. Have a great time. You will have a great time over there. It's a beautiful race course. It's a wonderful race, and the hosts are very, very gracious. So good luck
to you. Looking forward to it, Matthew.
Good on you. We're going to take a short break.